The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
We know that this week is Parashas Lech Lecha. I'd like to start from Bereishis. On the first day, Bereishis Bara Elokim Eisah Shemayim Veisaretz, Kodesh Baruch Hu created the heavens and the earth. And then he said, Yehi Or, let there be light. Then it states, Vayah Elokim Asor Ki Tov. Hashem saw that the light was good. And the second day also, on the third day, he said, Ki Tov, again, let it be good. And on every day he said it would be good, with the exception of the second day, which we'll speak about in a moment. From here we see that the creation is good. And actually Tov means when something is perfect in totality. So we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Bria, his creation, is perfect. And this is why he let it be. Because when he said, when it says that he saw that it was good, then it was one day. Alright. Now on the second day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't say that he saw it was good. And Rashi brings Rashi in Pasuk Zayin, Mipneimar Leinemar Kitei B'Yem Sheni, Lefi Shelo Hayadik Mamleches Hamayim Ad Yom Hashlishi. Because on the second day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a firmament, a sky, which would divide between the waters above and the waters below. The Mayim Elyonim and the Mayim Tachtonim. But he didn't finish. This was a tikkun. This had to do with the waters. And he didn't finish the waters until the third day. So therefore, Vare Hischel Babisheni, Rashi says, he started with the Meleches Hamayim, with the waters, on the second day, but he only finished on the third day. Nigmar, and something which is not complete is not good. So therefore on the second day he didn't say Ki Tov. Ubigimel should nigmar o meleches hamayim vihischa v'goma melocha acheres. On the third day, on Tuesday, there he finished the work with the waters and he started a new melocha, a new work. So he said Kitov twice. Achas Ligmar Meleches Hasheni, one time because he finished what he started before. Achas Ligmar Meleches Hayom, and the second time for what he did on the third day. And that's what it says on the third day. It says, Vayim Alekim Yikov Amayim Mitachas Hashomayim, let the waters gather up into one place, Al Makom Echad, V'Seiroi Ayaboshu, in order that the earth should be seen, the dry land. Vayichen, and so it was. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu called the dry land, Vayichol Elokim Yaboshu, he called it Eretz, and the waters he called the sea, and he saw it was good. Then he said, Tachi Oretz Desha, let the earth bring out vegetation, trees, and so forth. And then again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it says, Vayar Elokim Titov, he saw it was good. So the reason why he said Kitov twice on Tuesday is because he finished the work from the second day, from Monday, and he did new work on Tuesday. But on Monday, what he started, he didn't finish. The Rashi tells us that a dover, something which is not bimilua, which is not in totality, is not good. And that's what we said, because Tov means perfect. The Medrash adds to that. Medrash Rabbah Sidur in Parshat Dalet, Os Ches. Says as follows: Lama Engsi B'Sheni Ki Tov. Why on Monday, second day, Tov was not mentioned? B'Yechon Antoni LeB'Shem Yeruhu B'Yehuda B'Rav Chalapto Shabai Nivra Gehenim. Because on Monday Gehenim was created. B'Chanina Omar Shabai Nivra Es Machlekes. B'Chanina says because then it was the first Machlekes, the first dispute, division. Because he separated from the upper waters to the bottom waters. Omar Rav Tumia says, "I machlekes yili tikkunis shalaylam uli shuvay ein bo kitov machlekes shila avuvay al achas kama v'kama." This was a division which the world needed. All of the waters, they started from the earth and they went directly up to the sky, up to the heavens. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to divide between them. If a division which is needed for the world, still it's not good. It was good, but we couldn't say ki tov on it. So then halachas kama v'kama, what happens if you have a machlik, it's a division which is l'ra, which is not for the good of the world. And then omar b'shmul l'fish le'nigmar omlechas hamayim. Shmuel says, because he brings the reason that Rashi brings, because the Malechas Hamayim, the works of the waters, were not completed yet. Therefore, on Tuesday, it was said Tov twice, Echad l'Malechas Hamayim, v'Echad l'Malachdei Shulyayim. One time for the work which was finished with the waters, and one time which the new work that was done on Tuesday. So the Medrash actually brings three reasons. First reason is because Gehenim was created on Monday. The second reason is because Machlekes was created. And the third reason is because the work of Monday was not finished. Actually, on Tuesday that Kitov was said twice, we have an explanation for that only according to the third reason, but not according to the first two reasons. See, so that we would have to find out why. According to the third reason, that the works of the water was not finished and therefore Kitov was not said, so then on Tuesday it was said twice. But according to the reason that Gehenim was created on Monday, or Machlekes was created on Monday, that's why Kitov was not said. So then why was Kitov said twice on Tuesday? So that would be a question that we have to find a reason for. At any rate, the Medrash brings three reasons. The Maral writes that all of these three reasons are actually Bechorah Machto, that they are all intertwined. Because, again, Tov means something which is perfect and total. Work that started and not finished, so that's not Tov. It's incomplete. We also find the Torah tells us that we must be very careful that when we start a mitzvah, we must finish it. If someone else finishes it, it's referred to as his mitzvah, not as our mitzvah. So something which we start, we have to see it through. Many people have the nature where they start things but they don't finish them. You can't say it's Tov, right? Actually, the Torah brings this in regards to a mitzvah by Moshe. Moshe started the mitzvah of bearing Yosef in Eretz Yisrael. Because when Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim, he is the one who went after the Orem, the casket of Yosef. And he is the one who took him out of the Nile or wherever he was concealed. And he is the one who saw to it during the 40 years in the desert that it would be taken care of. But Moshe never went into Eretz Yisrael, so he was not the one who was able to bury him.
And this was something which was beyond the control of Moshe Rabbeinu. Still, the mitzvah was not called his mitzvah. When Yosef was buried, it doesn't mention Moshe did it, but those who completed the mitzvah. So therefore, we have to be very careful that when we start something, if it's something worthwhile, we see it through. If it's not worthwhile, we shouldn't see it through. But if it is, then we should see it through. Not be like people that start things and do not finish them. Otherwise, it's not called Tov. All right. Now, what does this have to do, though, with Machlekes? And what does this have to do with Gehenna? Because we said that when you start something and you don't finish it, it's incomplete. And something which is incomplete is not perfect. Gehenna also. Gehenna, the Chazal tell us, is Shomema, Tzio v'Shomema. It is the opposite of a Mitzius. It's the opposite of something which is complete. It's an abyss. It's a vacuum. It's a pasuk, la'anchil lo'avei lo'ohavai yesh. That to give to those who are close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the world to come, it's referred to as a yesh, something which is there. Gehenem is the opposite, something which is not there. So therefore, Gehenem certainly is incomplete. Therefore, a Tov could not be said on it. And what about Machlekes? This is what Machlekes is. Machlekes is where you take something which is complete and you divide it. You make division. Fact is, the word Machlekes comes from the word chelek. Cholak. Chelek, it means a faction, a division, a splinter. So when you take something which is complete and you break it, you divide it, it becomes a chelek. That's Machlekes. And therefore you can't say Tov on that. It's incomplete. The word Shalom, which is the opposite of Machlekes, peace, that comes from the word Shalem, which means something in its totality. So therefore all of these three things that took place on Monday, Gehenna was created, Machlekes was created, division, and the Melech HaSamayim L'Nigmara, the waters were not complete. So they all have in it a common aspect, that there was a lack of perfection and totality. Therefore Kitov could not be said. Kitov was said on Tuesday when the Melech HaSamayim were complete. According to this, we can understand very simply now, because we could have asked the question on the first day also. There it states also Mavdil. See, on the second day it states Yihira Kiya B'Secha Moim V'Mavdil B'Mayil Moim. Let there be a sky between the waters, and will divide between the upper waters and the lower waters. So that was the division. But on the first day also it says Mavdil. It says that Vayar Elokim Asor Ki Tov, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw the light was good, Vayavdil. Vayavdil Elokim Bein Or Bein HaChashuk, and he divided between the light and the darkness. So again he divided, there was division. So why do we say good on the first day then? So the answer is very simple. Division is not good as when you take one thing and you divide it into two, because you're breaking it. You're breaking its perfection, its totality. But what happens if you take two things that are mixed together, that shouldn't, that do not belong together? There's no totality there. There's no perfection there. To the contrary, if you divide it and separate it, then you create an achdus, a unity in each one by itself. The second day on Monday, so there was talking about the waters. The waters were all one. The Kodesh Baruch Hu made a firmament, a sky that would divide them. So he took the unity of the water and he divided it. Fact is, there was a whole argument between the waters. Who would be the upper waters and who would be left, who would have to be the lower waters. But he took the waters, which were one, and divided them. But on the first day, what did he divide? He divided the light from the darkness, and darkness from the light. Darkness and light are not one mitzvah, they are not one entity. They are contrary to each other. And there, it was not one entity that he divided. It were two entities that he divided, one from the other. There he created an Achdus. Until then it was a Taruvus. The fact is, the word Erev is different interpretations. What does it mean, Erev? So the Maral brings, actually recently someone showed me that Rav Shimshon of Oilers also says this, that Erev comes from the word Taruvus, because that's when you see the mixture of light and darkness. That's two entities. So therefore, there it's good why he said Ki Tov. Actually, there's a Gemara, this I mentioned on Shabbos Bereishis, we had a shir at our home, so we mentioned some of these things. There's a Gemara in Masechta Erechim, Yud Aleph. The Gemara says that Omar Rabbi Yehuda Omar Shmuel Menayin Li Kashiru Min HaTorah. The Levim would sing in the Beis HaMikdash beautifully. They would sing, and they had instruments, and even they had instruments that we do not have anymore. And this they would do during the Avodah, during the Korbanos, the sacrifices, what the Kohanim would do in the Beis HaMikdash. Now how do we know that? Where does it say in the Torah that they would sing? This is what the Gemara asks. So the Gemara offers a few answers. One answer is Omer Masna Omer Mehocha Tachase She'olavaretu Es Hashem Elokecho V'Simcha U'V'Tuv Levov. It says in the Torah, because you did not serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with Simcha and V'Tuv Levov. This we learned not too long ago. It was in Parshas Kisova, if I recall correctly. Because you did not serve Hashem Elokecha with Simcha and B'tuv Levov. Now it says Avarato. Avarato is Avoda, which generally refers to the Beis HaMikdash. So we see that the Avoda, the Beis HaMikdash, has to be B'Simcha or B'tuv Levov. So Ezehu Avedesh B'Simcha Tuv Levov. Where do we find an Avoda that's B'Simcha Tuv Levov? Heviyem Ezu Shira. So from here I'll learn out that this was the Shira, the song and the music of the Levim. The Gemara asked the Kasha, let's say that the Posuk that you didn't serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with Simcha V'Tuv Levov refers to Torah, because Torah is called Simcha. So the Gemara says, because it says B'Gudi Hashem Yishori B'Samcha Lev, so the Gemara says Torah is called Simcha, but it's not called Tuv, it's not called good. Tesis asks the Kasha. He says, we see Torah is called good also. For example, Lekach Tov Nosati Lochem, or Tov Li Teres Picho. So Torah is called Simcha, P'kudi Hashem, Yishori Mesamche Lev. And it's called Tov. So let's say this refers to Torah. So Tesis says that, no, what the Gemara means that it's called Simcha and it's called Tov, but not in one together. You'll never find in one posuk where Torah is referred to as both Simcha and Tov. And here in the posuk it says that you didn't serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Simcha V'Tuv Levov together. So where do we find something which is Simcha and Tov together? That must be the Shira. Then Tesis asks the Kasha in Rush Perigimel. Ruth's Naomi, mother-in-law, told her, go to Boaz, go up to the threshing plant at night when he's sleeping, and go and sleep at his feet. When he wakes up, tell him that he has to marry you. So she said, though, don't go, he's working in the heat the whole day. So So you can only go after he's eaten something and he drank, then you can go. So it states that Boaz came in from the work, he ate, vayechal, vayesht, he drank, vayitav liboy, and he brought goodness to his heart, and then he went to sleep, and then Ruth went. So he brings from Rashi, evidently Tosfos doesn't know where the Medrash is, because he quotes Rashi, says there's a Medrash. See, in Rashi and Ruth says this. He ate, that we understand what it means. He drank, we understand. But what does it mean by Yitav Liboy? So Rashi says, Osak B'Torah, Medrash says. He ate, he drank, he learned Torah, and now he was totally in a good mood and relaxed and happy, went to sleep. So what do we see? We see that even where it states Tov alone, see, we dash in Torah, and he's got kashas on this Gemara for that. So now, because the, well, it is actually, this has to do with two ways, two possibilities in how to learn our Gemara. But what he's asking is that from the Gemara it would seem that Torah is not referred to as Tov. There we see it is. So it says Vayitav Libo, and the Medrash that Rashi brings says he was Osak B'Torah. So this is what Tosfos asks. So the Ragachover says a very good teretz. He says, what was Boaz learning that night? Yishalmi says that Boaz, there are three halachos that we learn out of the Megillas Rus. One is we learn Moav, Moaviv le Moavis. There was a whole question that if someone comes from the nation of Moab and a Megayer, if they can marry into Klal Yisrael or into the central community of Klal Yisrael. And the halach is they cannot, because it says Ador Asiri, they cannot. But is that Dafke, is that a male convert or even a female convert? And this was a question that bothered not only Boaz but Klal Yisrael for generations, because it was learned and forgotten, and there were disputes in many generations over this. And now that Ruth came about, so the question came to the fore again, because Ruth was a female convert from Moab, and the question would be, could she marry into the central community of Klal Yisrael? The fact is, Boaz, he himself was thinking that she would be a good shidduch. See? So therefore this was what, but besides that, he had to, Boaz was the Godel Hador, he was a shefet, and he had to go through this halacha. That's one. So he came to the conclusion, Boaz, after going thoroughly through this halacha, that this Isur, this prohibition, is dafka on a male convert, not on a female convert. The reasons we won't go into now. And this conclusion he came to that night. There were two other halachas learned out from Megillas Rus also. One is Chalipin, the Kinyan Chalipin. This is our source, that by one taking something and giving it to the other person, you can make a Kinyan, you can make an acquisition. And the third halacha is brought out that we learn is that Birchas Eres in Basor, that he got 10 people together, and one of the reasons brought why he got 10 people together is because he was going to make the Eres, he was going to marry her. You needed Asor, you needed 10. Now, this halacha of Mo'avi Balei Ma'avis, that only the male converts are prohibited, but not the female. This halacha he concluded that night. So the Ragachover says that even if you say that Tov would not refer to Torah. Now that's the Asik of Torah. That's when you're learning Torah. But if you come to a conclusion in Torah, you come to a psak halacha, to a finality in the halacha, then it is Tov. And that's why the Vayitav Liboy by Boaz, there the Midrash says that he learned Torah. What would be the reason? The reason is like we're talking about. Is because how can Torah be the ultimate in goodness when you're learning Torah, you're still left with all kind of unfinished business. You still have this to clarify. You still have this to conclude. And something with unfinished business is not in the ultimate of perfection. But if the Torah you're learning brings you to a psak halacha, to a finality in the halacha, then that's Tov. See, so that goes hand in hand with what we're saying. And that's why it states, Vayitav Liboy, that Boaz learned Torah that night. Actually, we say that on Tuesday, we gave the reason, was Kofal by Kitov. Kitov was said twice. On the seventh, on the sixth day of creation, that's on Posuk Chof Dalet. Vayom Elokim Totzi Oretz Nefesh Chai Lemino Vayim Avaremes Vachai Seretz Limino Vayichein Vayas Elokim Es Chayas Oretz. The sixth day of creation, Kodesh Baruch Hu created the animals and all living things. And then it states Vaya Elokim Ki Tov. Kodesh Baruch Hu saw it was good. Then he created man. Then it says, Pasuk Lamed Aleph, Vayar Elokim Es Kol Asher Osa V'hinei Tov Miod. Kodesh Baruch Hu saw everything that he made, and it was very good. Vayar Vayvoker Yom HaShishi, and it was the sixth day. Actually, there was another day in which HaKodesh Baruch Hu said Ki Tov twice, and that was on Friday. And there, the Midrash doesn't ask, why was Kofal by Kitov? Why twice? The answer is that's not a question. Because the Kitov which he said on Friday is explicit that the first one was for Melech HaSayom. The first one was for all of the animals which he created on Friday. The second Kitov was not for what he did on Friday, but that was for what he did during the whole 6 days of creation. And that the Midrash brings out in another point, that it's like someone gives a matona, a gift, to six people, and then he gives one gift for all six together. First he gives a gift to each one individually, and then he gives one to all six together. So therefore, on Friday, he said Ki Tov on what was done on Friday, and then another Ki Tov, actually that's a Tov Me'od, for all of the 6 days, which everything he created during the 6 days. So it's not a question. But on Monday was a question, because Ki Tov was not said at all, and on Tuesday was a question, because Ki Tov is said twice on what was made on Tuesday. All right. On the third day, on Tuesday, Kodesh Baruch Hu said, let all of the waters gather together beneath the heavens in one place, in order that the earth can be seen. And so it was. So all of the waters gathered together, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu called the dry land Eretz, and he called the waters the sea, and he saw it was good. This said HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to, well, let's put it this way, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to command the waters to gather together in one place? Why was this necessary? From here we see that when the waters were created, they were created with a nature to spread through from one end of the world to the other. And this is also brought out where it states that it says Veruach Elokim Rachefes ala pnei hamoyim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's spirit was over the water. What does it mean it was over the water? Over the water, not over the earth. It says in the beginning, right in the beginning, Veruach Elokim Rachefes ala pnei hamoyim. So the answer is because the waters had spread over the entire creation from one end to the other. That's how they were created. Rashi brings this out. So therefore, now HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to tell the waters, gather together in one place in order that the earth should be seen. Fact is, the Chazal bring out that Goa Rabbi, commanded the waters, shouted at the waters, because this was going against their nature. And he said, condense yourselves and gather yourselves together, contain yourselves. And he drew a line and he says, this is how far you'll come and no further. Atkan. See, he gave the waters gruelin. But this is contrary to their nature. The way he created the waters to begin with is Ruach Hashem Arachefes al Pnei HaMoim, the spirit of Hashem hovered over the waters, because the whole universe was waters, was covered with the water. Now from here we can understand why, if you ever go to the sea, you see that the sea never stops trying to come back up on the earth. Never stops. Never gets tired of it. 24 hours a day, the sea tries to come back up on the earth, comes to a certain spot, and it goes back. Sometimes it has permission to go a little further, according to the tides. But under normal circumstances, it will keep trying and keep trying, comes to a certain spot, and it goes back. Because the nature of the waters are to cover the earth. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded it not to, so it comes to as far as it's allowed to come, and then it goes back. Why did he tell the waters to go back? If it's their nature to cover everything, so why did he tell the waters to go back? Because he said like this to the waters. The waters didn't want to. They put up an argument. So he said, I didn't create the world to make a home for you. I created the world to make a home for man, for Adam. And therefore you have to move back in order that he will have a place, because Adam has to live on the dry land. He's not a fish. He doesn't live in the sea. And not that he'll have to move back in order that you should have a place. The water said, why? Why do we have to move back? Let him move back. He says, no. He says, Adam is greater than you. And you were created to serve him. Not that you're greater than him, and he was created to serve you. So therefore, Yikoveh Hamayim V'seiroeh Hayaboshof. And this is what it says, states later on in Pasuk Chovov. It says, "Vayom Elokim nas Adam b'tzalmenu ki musenu v'yirdu b'degasayom v'ef hashamayim." Let's make man in our image, and he will rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the heavens. So therefore, he says, he was not created to be your servant, you were created to be his servant. So you move back in order that he'll have a place to live. Now, this is when man is at the level that he's supposed to be. But what happens if man falls from his level? He degenerates. Then he's no longer greater than the waters. And the waters have a good time and they have a good argument. We're greater than man. And there's many times that HaKadosh Baruch Hu agrees to the waters. And that's why many times when he wants to destroy man, either all of men or part of men, he brings the waters. Because I'll tell us that during the before the great flood, there was a flood. During the time of Enosh, man became very evil. HaKadosh Baruch Hu let the waters go beyond their gevul, beyond their boundary. And they killed many people. When the great flood came, he told the waters, you have a right to cover the earth again. So they covered the earth. And the same thing, when it came to destroying Egypt, HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroyed it with the waters. So the whole reason why the waters cannot come upon the earth is that because of this is the dira, the place of man, and man is greater than the waters. But that's only as long as he maintains his greatness. With this principle, the Maral is mevarer a maimer in the Medrash in Parshas Bishalach, which is Remeir Eimer, that at the Kriyas Yamsuf, when the sea was split, so it was an enormous miracle. Here, you're walking through the sea and all of a sudden the water split. Imagine you go down to the coast, to the Cape Town, or to Durban, or Port Elizabeth, and you walk into the Indian Ocean, and all of a sudden it splits. Could there be such a miracle? So Ramayah says, it's not such a miracle. It's not such a miracle. He says, what are you getting so surprised over it? He says, Im le'odam yechidi, le'edo kedoshim al achas kama v'kama. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu did this for one man, so how much more so is he going to do it for all of Israel? He says, this is what he did for Adam. Because the waters covered the whole earth. It was like you had the Indian Ocean covering everything. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu moved the waters back. Okay? For one individual man. So how much more so is he going to do this for Eda Kadoshim, for his own nation that was going out of Mitzrayim to Har Sinai? And the reason, like we said, is because man is greater than the waters. So who could be greater than Klal Yisrael that they were leaving Mitzrayim, Egypt, and going to Har Sinai? So Ramayah says, why don't get so excited over it? It's not such a miracle. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did at creation. And then we see, though, that it would be the waters of the Indian Ocean split. So the others come and say, well, let's take advantage of it. So the Egyptians also came through. Now, they didn't split for the Egyptians. It says, they returned le'esonai, they returned to their normal strength. Because the water said, if we have to move back for Klal Yisrael, that's because of Yisrael, but not because of the Egyptians. So they moved back to their normality. The seventh day. Seventh day was Shabbos. It says that the last posuk, which deals with Shabbos, states. Well, first it says, "Vayechu l'shamayim v'aretz v'chol tzvaohem," that the heavens and earth were all completed. Everything was completed. Hashem completed on the seventh day all of the work that he wanted to do. Now the last pasuk says, Vayvorech Elokim Hashem Hashvi Vayakadosh Yisrael. Kodesh Baruch Hu blessed the seventh day and he sanctified it. Kivay Shovas Mikol Malachtoi Asher Boro Elokim La'asos. Because on that day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu rested from all of his work which he created to do. The Medrash says this is not correct. Shouldn't say that he rested from all of the work which he created to do. It should say that he rested from all of the work which he created and he did. He created work to do. He did the work. Now he rested. You have work to do. Let's say you have Sunday off. So you do all your work during the week. You finish all of your work. Now you take off on Sunday. Or you take off another day. So it should say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu rested on that day from all of the work which he created and which he did. Instead it says he rested on that day from all of the work which he created to do. What is this telling us? So the Medrash says as follows. This is Yud Aleph Os Yud. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not rest, and actually this is a principle that the Maral writes in many places. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not rest on the seventh day because he finished all of the work that he did in the 6 days. To the contrary, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made sure to complete all of the work that he was going to do in the 6 days so he could rest on the seventh day. See, generally we think that Shabbos is Kodosh because HaKadosh Baruch Hu finished his work on the 6 days, therefore he had a day off. The day off was Shabbos, so it became Kodosh. And this we can ask, why is it that he happened to finish his work on 6 days? He could have finished it on 5 days and taken off the 6th day. He could have finished it on 7th day and taken off the 8th day. So on that the Maral says no. The reason why Shabbos is on the 7th day is not because HaKadosh Baruch Hu happened to finish his work in 6 days. Shabbos is on the 7th day because Kol Hashvim Kodesh. We have a principle which is brought in the Medrash. 7 is Kodesh. So there's a Medrash, it's in Parshas Pinchas. It says Kol Hashvim Kodesh. We find the 7th month is Tishrei. We find the 7th day is Shabbos. We find the 7th year is Shemitah. We find the 7th Shemitah is Yovel. Brings the 7th son of Yishai was David. So Kol Hashvim Kodesh. 7th day is Kodesh. Why? That's another discussion. See? Because the 7th day is Kodesh, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu made sure to complete all of his work in 6 days. That's why the Medrash says here, it says, doesn't say HaKadosh Baruch Hu finished all of the work that he created. He completed all of the work that he created and that he did and rested on the 7th day. It says Bor Elokim Va'osa Ein Ksiv Kan Ela Shebor Elokim La'asos. He finished all of the work which he had created to do. He made sure to finish and he rested. And the Medrash goes on to say Higdim Kol Mashak Oya HaKadosh Baruch Hu Osid Livresh Bezayin Higdim Obora Yisai Bevov. There were things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could continue creating. There was work he could continue with. there was work that he could do on the seventh day. It's not that he ran out of work, or it's not that it's according to the order of things, everything was finished on Friday. No, according to the natural order of things, not everything would have been finished on Friday. It would have gone into Friday night, it would have gone into Shabbos. But because Shabbos is Kadosh, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu Higdim, he made sure to finish everything by Friday. And from this we understand, there's a moral that brings us, that there were certain things that were made hurriedly, and some things became incomplete. And that's the Mishnah Novus that brings a number of things that were made Benashmoshes. There were all kind of strange things, or other things that were made Benashmoshes just as Shabbos was coming. And that's because, not that Shabbos is Shabbos because HaKadosh Baruch Hu happened to finish everything in 6 days. That means if he would happen to finish everything in 7 days, so the eighth day would have been Shabbos, or finished everything in 5 days, the sixth day would have been Shabbos. No. Because the seventh day is Kodesh, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted it to be Kodesh, he made sure to finish everything on 6 days, even if he would have needed more time. That's why it states that he rested Asher Bara Elokim, not the also, but Asher Bara Elokim Lasis. Everything that he had in mind to create, he made sure to create by no later than Friday. Once had a Talmud many years ago, and he said, very good, he says, this is why Erev Shabbos is always a Bahola. Even in the extremes, here we don't have such extremes, but even in the summer, in the extreme places, you know, there are places that Shabbos only comes in Friday night at 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock. There are many places like that. You go to Europe, you go to London, you go to Zurich, even in America, many places, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock in the summer. Yet, I can never remember, no matter how long Friday is, it's not a rush. See? There's always a rush. See? She says, this is why. This is the tema of the day. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu rushed on Friday to make sure to finish all this work before Shabbos would come. And this is because of the Kedusha of Shabbos. Now, the Medrash says further, Rashi brings, because of the special day, it says by Kaddish Eisoi, by Vorech Elokim, Eshe Mashvi, by Kaddish Eisoi. He blessed it, and he sanctified it. Now we've spoken at length on this in Shurim on Shabbos, but just to make mention, by Vorech Eisoi ve Kaddish Eisoi, these are two contradictions, because Bracha is where you bring something close to you. Bracha is where a person has something, his fields become full. Or like HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Peru Revu, he gave a bracha to the creation. It should grow, it should expand, it should populate. Kodesh, Kedusha, is just the opposite. Kedusha is something which is beyond you, which is an untouchable, you should keep your distance from. It states, Es Mikdosh Hayti Rovu, my Beis HaMikdosh, you must be careful of. You should have fear from. So these are two opposites. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu put both in Shabbos. So the Rashi brings, and this is the Medrash, this is a siman l'dover, a sign. We see this by the mon, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought bracha on Shabbos, where everybody had a double portion of mon. But still he brought kedusha on Shabbos, where the mon didn't fall at all on Shabbos. So Shabbos was so sanctified that nothing fell on Shabbos. But still it was the source of Kedusha. But still it was the source of Baruch Hu. where everybody had a double portion on Shabbos. So what happened there? That the Shabbos gave brocha into the mon, that when the mon fell on Friday, there would be enough for Friday and enough for Shabbos. But still it was Kodesh, where nothing fell on Shabbos itself. And we've gone into this at length to explain it, but just to bring out that point. Now, the Medrash, which says this, brings, this is in right here also in Parsha Yud Aleph, Os Basin, at the end of Os Basin, Os Gimel, and Os Dalid, the Medrash brings, what is this brocha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Shabbos? Give us some examples. So one example it brings is Rabbeinu Asa Suda Lantanonis, Lantaninus B'Shabbos. Rabbeinu, that's Rabbi Yehuda Nossi. He was a prince. He was a prince of Israel. At the same time that Antoninus was the Caesar of Rome. And they were very, very good friends. So the Yehuda Nossi used to invite him over to his house. The Yehuda Nossi lived in Mestama in a palace, large home. He used to invite him over to his house for a Suda. So one time he invites him over for Shabbos. Hevi lefonav tafshilin shel tzeinim. This was the Suda Shachris, Shabbos meal during the day. So he brought him foods that were cold, because they can't be freshly cooked on Shabbos. So he brought him cold foods. Ochol mehen v'orabloi. So Antoninus ate them, and he couldn't get over how wonderful they tasted. Then another time, also Suda b'chol, he invited him over for a Suda, a meal during the week. Hevi lefonav tavshilin reiskin. If it was the week, they could be freshly cooked. So he brought him freshly cooked, warm and hot foods. Omalei, so Antonina said, Osan orvili yeser me'elu. He says, you know, the cold food you served me last time tasted better than the hot food that you're serving me this time. So Rebbe said, Omalei tavlin echor hein chaserin. He says, unfortunately, there's a certain spice that I don't have, that I couldn't put in the foods today. That's why the others tasted better. He says, you're like a king, you're a prince. Does the palace lack spices? He says, yes. He says, Shabbos ain't chaserin. He's lock Shabbos. He says, it's lacking Shabbos. We have a spice that's called Shabbos, and that's what we put into our foods on Shabbos. And during the week, we don't have that spice. Kodesh Baruch Hu didn't give us that brocha. Then the Medrash brings Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yosi Shailel l'Rabbi. Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yosi asked Rabbi, Amalei b'nei Bovel b'schus ma'hin chayim. Why do we see that those that live in Bovel, they live, they become wealthy? With what schus? Amalei b'schus ha-Torah. She says, in Bovel there are great talmidei chachomim, and they learn, and they give kovod to Torah, and they give kovod to the talmidei chachomim. That's the schus in which they have the bracha of wealth. B'nei Eretz Yisrael b'schus ma. And why in Eretz Yisrael do we see there are wealthy people? Amalei b'schus ma'isros. He says that they have the ma'isr, the tenth of the crops to give to the levim. From there they get wealthy. Ba'an she'chutz lo'aretz b'schus ma. And those people that do not live in Bovel, all in Eretz Yisrael, where do they get their wealth from? He says in the schus that they give honor to Shabbos and Yom Tov. Omar Rav Chiya Bar Abba says Pamachas Zimnani Odom Echod BeLutkayo. One time I was traveling and came Shabbos and I had to stay in Lutkayo. So I was invited over to a person's house for Shabbos. Evila von Echod Yuskis Echod Ton Beyud Vos Bog Vutais. He brought before me a wonderful table. Those days they used to carry in the tables. So he brought before me a table that had 16 staves in it. Took 16 servants to carry it in. And on this table was the everything that you could find in the world on this table. The best meats and the best fowls and the best fruits and the best vegetables, the best wines, and the Exodus, the Gemara in Kol Kisvei in Shabbos, and there it goes into a little more detail. It says it was copper and gold and silver. And then he says you couldn't imagine what it was. Table and he had a little child sitting in the middle of the table, and he would keep calling out that everything belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kol kach lomer kedei shelei tesuach daita shel balabais olav. The balabas had him do that because otherwise he could become arrogant. A person becomes so wealthy, so right away he says, look, kechev eitzim yodi, it's all mine. So to remind him that it comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he had this little child doing that. Omaleh, so I said to him, b'ni mehechet v'chisa l'kol HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, my son, what did you do to merit all of this? Omalei, so he said, from here, just recently I mentioned it again, but we once gave a shiur for Yom Kippur and we brought from here that the Chazal, whenever they saw anything bad happen, they wanted to know why. All right, that's common. But what is uncommon is that when we have good things happen to us, we don't ask why. The Chazal also asked why. When they saw something good would happen, they want to know why. See, this person has brocha, has to be a reason. We have to know why. And that's why consistently they were always asking, Bamei Arachto, why did you live so long? Why are you wealthy? And so forth and so on. But now we see a second chidush from here. Generally, these questions were asked to the Talmidei Chachamim. They asked Rabbi Yochanan, why did the people so wealthy in Eretz Yisrael? Why did they live so long in Chutz Lares and so forth and so on? Right? Or they'll ask a Tana, why did you live so long? So he's a Talmud Chacham, his Tami knows. You see, no. This man was a portion Balabos. He's a plain Balabos. Later on, we'll see right away, he was actually a butcher and a sheikhet. And here, Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba was asking him, what did you do to deserve all of this wealth? So evidently a plain balabos also can answer for himself why he is deserving of brochus. So he says, I'll tell you why I was eicher to all of this. Tabach hoyisi, I used to be a tabach. See, I used to be a sheikhet and a butcher. Notice he says hoyisi, so he had enough money to retire now. I used to be a sheikhet and a butcher. And whenever I would see a very beautiful animal during the week, I would set it aside and either use it myself or give it to someone that I would know that he would use it l'kovet Shabbos. So that was his answer why he was zeicher to all of this wealth. He was mechabedes Shabbos. So he answered him, Amati Lei, Lei Al Mogain Zochiso. He says, it's not for nothing that you were zeicher to all of this wealth. There's the reason, and this is the reason, like you said, Shabbos, the brocha of Shabbos has brought you all of this wealth. One final point. Kodesh Baruch Hu put man in Gan Eden, This is in test four, Rashi's base. Vayikach Hashem Elokim Esau Odom Vayinechehu Began Eden Lo Avda L'Shomra. He put him into the Garden of Eden, Eden Lo Avda L'Shomra, to work and to guard. Vayitzav Hashem Elokim Al Odom Lemor Mikol Eitz Hagon Ochel Teichem. And he said, from all of the trees of the garden you shall eat from. And he told him, but the Eitz Hadash you shouldn't. Alright, we always speak about that the Eitz Hadash you shouldn't, but it's important to know the first step also. He said that you shall eat from all of the trees of the garden. Now why did he tell him that? The Pasuk in Keheles, actually the Mesillas Yeshorim brings this in his Akdoma. There's a Pasuk in Keheles, Perek Zayin, Pasuk Yud Gimel, which states, Re'ei es ma'asei Elokim, ki mi yuchal esaken es asher ivso. So, look at the works of Hashem, and who can fix, who can repair that which is made crooked. Medrash brings a mispasuk in Keheles. This is in Keheles Zayin, Os Chof Ches. Reyes Masi Lekim Ki Miyuchal Lesakein Miyuchal Lesakein Es Asher Ivasoy Bishor Shebor HaKadosh Baruch Hu Es Odom HaRishon. When Hashem created Odom HaRishon, Netolei Vehechzir Al Kol Ilanei Gan Eden, He went to each tree in Gan Eden, introduced him to each tree. And he said to him, Re'ei Masai Kamanoim Umishubochim Heim. He said, look at each tree and look at my works, how beautiful and perfect and praiseworthy they are. Why is he telling Odom this? He says, because kol ma shebrosi bishvilcho borosi, everything that I have made for you. Actually, there's a halacha that's brought that if someone sees a fruit and he doesn't taste from it, it's an avera. Because here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has created for him. It's like a king gives you something and you give it back. Kol ma shebrosi bishvilcho borosi. Whatever I have created for you. And therefore I'm bringing you to all of these trees. And that's what it means here, where he says, Mikol Eitz Hagon Ochel Tochel. You shall eat from all of the trees of the garden. Right? But then he told him, what does the end of the Pasuk mean? The Pasuk says, Reyes Masi Lekim. Then it says, Ki Miyuchol Lesakein Eis Asher Ivasoy. Who can repair that which is damaged? So then he said, but be careful. He says, use it, but do not destroy it. Because if you will destroy it, there is no one after you that can repair it. And it says you will bring death to the world. Okay. And it goes on from there. But so this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said. He said, all of the trees of the gun, he took him to each tree. He said, see how beautiful and wonderful the trees are, and I created it for you, for your pleasure. Eat from it, but take care of it, because if you destroy my world, now this is referring to physically, environmentalists, and it's referring to spiritually. If you destroy my world, then there's no one else that can come and repair it. All right, these are some of the notes on Parshas Bereishis.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@yjj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.